Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Where you from, ma'am? Ma'am? Where you from?
World Shakers.
World Shakers, yes, ma'am. All right, okay. Well, to the students on internet and some of y'all watching by Roku, I think it got over 200 students out there. This is our first time being acquainted. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you as we start this school year. Father, we're so thankful today as we open this session of schooling. We know that the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. So I bless all the instructors and all the classes, all the students. May we come into a fellowship that the revelation knowledge of your word can be a smooth part in our lives. We thank you for every student. We thank you for their families. We thank you for their efforts to learn more about you. May you bless them in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Get your Bible and your book and your notepad and whatever else you need. Very important scriptures as I teach on the aspect of the apostle and how important the apostle ministry is to ministries. For instance, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, let's look at this verse for a moment. Three or four verses I want to look at to get us started. Paul points out in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul as an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So it establishes the fact this is a calling. This is not something that we came up with in a meeting. This is God's divine order. And then I want to point out three things that an apostle's ministry deals with. First of all, is a clear, profound, heaven-to-earth teaching. A clear, profound, heaven-to-earth teaching. Very important. Secondly, it's a clear, profound, heaven-to-earth functioning. He functioned in a certain way because God designed him to function that way. Thirdly, clear, notice it's clear, profound, heaven-to-earth government. So we're dealing with teaching. We're dealing with a special teaching. We're dealing with a special functioning. We're dealing with a special government. So important to understand that. The apostle teach out of a strong headquarters anointing. According to God's design, it's not no man thing. He's the first one. We'll see it line up in Ephesians chapter 4. Apostles and the prophets are foundational in the ministry gifts. And I think it called for a scripture here that I asked my secretary right before I left out. It called for a scripture here we have. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Just for a moment. Ephesians 3:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. See, all ministries are extensions of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is called in the book of Hebrews, he's our chief apostle. He even called himself an apostle. So it's just a divine design order of the kingdom for lines of accountability and responsibilities. It's nothing for us to get in conflict about. It's something we're behind on. And in this season, the Lord seemed to be restoring this back to the church that we can function properly in teaching, functioning, and government. All right? Now, everyone in this school will have the opportunity to walk in an apostolic anointing. See, when you connect, that anointing starts flowing in your direction. Doesn't mean you have to be an apostle. Doesn't mean maybe. Doesn't mean you have to be a prophet. Maybe. But you have the ability, you will have the ability to walk in this anointing, because each class is going to be imparting this type of anointing to you. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, this is something you must know about your ministry, you must know about when you are aiming to work for God. You have to understand ministry is under a grace. It is a grace position. It's a grace position. You follow me? It operates under the grace of God. And I think that one of the greatest apostles that ever lived was the Apostle Paul. And he gave a demonstration in 1 Corinthians 3:10. I think it's 1 Corinthians, what is 15? No, it's 10, 15, where he said, what scripture is about the grace of God? He's operating under the grace of God. It's a scripture Paul used, and I'll bring it back to you. But 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to grace of God given unto me, not a piece of paper. Written by grace and not by paper. You understand? All right. You understand that? All right. Now we're actually going to deal with a chapter in the book of Breakthrough, in the Apostle Strategy book, in which I'm teaching. We're going to deal with chapter 18 in that book. If you want to make a note. But I want to say a few things about this course as we study apostolic strategy. First of all, it's time for the church to be aware prophetically what God has spoken and outlined for her. See, proper teaching, proper understanding of the fivefold ministry gift, in which you can turn to Ephesians 4 now. Proper understanding of the grace, proper understanding of the divine order, proper understanding of submitting to spiritual authority properly, being acquainted with spiritual authority properly, is so important for the benefit of any ministry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay? It's a matter of life and death.
Yes, sir.
In ministry. It's a matter of whether the grace can flow or the grace will not flow. If a person do not govern themselves by the direction of the Holy Spirit. That is so important. Jesus talked about an easy yoke. I know about that yoke, and I know about the hard one too. So we want to get acquainted so we can get us an easy yoke. Ephesians 4, I want you to turn there. The prophetic and apostolic anointing, the apostolic and prophetic and prophetic anointing must be in place for God to clearly enable the church to function as he has laid it out for her. So if we're going to function in ministry properly, we're going to have to understand the apostolic, we're going to understand the prophetic, then we go down the line to pick up the other three. They're all connected. It's not nowhere where the scripture says one should rule over another one. It's just a line of progression that God has set spiritually. It's just like generals and majors and sergeants in the army.
Yes, sir.
There has to be divine order. If you don't have no order, everybody be everything. And then you have a problem. Well, you understand me, Clint?
Yes, sir.
Listen very carefully. Now, the apostolic anointing enables the church to break through to new places in God. Because that apostle is his ear is leaning against heaven.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the way God designed it, for his ear to lean against heaven. And he's constantly eavesdropping,
yes, sir,
on revelations that God have designed it to come through him. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And so that way we'll be able to move forward in God's purpose. Now, this scripture in Ephesians is so important because the church must mature, we must grow. There have not been as much growing as as the Father would like for to grow. And the reason it is, man got a hold of scriptures and set the scriptures up the way they want it. And they start building organizations and things. It's been going on for years and years and years. Then it's the big boy and the small boy.
Yes, sir.
Some stay small all their life because the big boy got to have somebody to be over so he keep you small. But if you learn the grace of God, you learn in this school, you're going to be able to see the divine pattern that God has set for you to walk in a strong anointing and awareness of God's presence. That's a master key. When you're aware that you're in God's presence and you're aware of the fact that you function out of a strength that is supernatural. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's a supernatural strength of spiritual thing. It must come through the Holy Spirit. So I believe the Apostle Paul really nailed it here in Ephesians 4. I'm not going to read the whole. I'm just going to begin at the 7th verse because it talks about gifts and graces. Gifts and graces. Almost, we got to always remember when we're functioning in spiritual thing, it has to be based upon a gift. It has to be based upon grace.
Yes, sir.
So that would annihilate pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency and who I am and what I can do. It's by the grace of God. Amen? And so there are those of you who are sitting under the sound of my voice, both here in the sanctuary and around the world, God have chosen you for certain things. You have a gift.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that gift is invalidated. That gift will be smothered without grace.
Yeah. Wow.
Grace is so important. Humbleness is so important.
Yes.
Meekness is so important. Relying on the Holy Ghost is so important in this business.
Yes, sir.
Your talents and your ability and your gifting cannot function without the grace of God. You can make noise, you can tell nice stories,
yes,
you can get people emotionalized, but you will not be effective in the realm of the spirit.
Yeah, right.
Let me say it like this. Demon won't respect you.
Yeah.
You hear what I say, class? Now, y'all better write some of this stuff down.
Yes,
demons see the grace of God, plucks the gift of God, plucks your faith, make demon respect you.
Wow.
You got so many powers. You use the name of Jesus. You use the power of the cross. You got the power of the blood. You got the power of the kingdom. You got the power of the word. You got the power of your faith. There's so much you can use if you're operating under the grace of God. How many see me?
Yes,
see, that's important. I want to nail at home that it's grace. Why the writer said, let's come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. God, grace, you're saved by grace. And so the life in the spirit is a grace. I think the 7th verse explained here in Ephesians 4:7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace. See that? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, your gift has to be have a measurement, a measure of grace for the function problem.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, if you try to function in a gift in the spirit realm outside of grace, I'm sorry for you. So he goes on to say, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive, here it is again now in the latter part of the 8th verse, and gave what? Gifts unto men. So you recognize spiritual work is a gifting from God. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And you know, he went, he died in our place and they buried him. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heaven. And he seated at the right hand of the Father, that he might fill all things. Now you get down to the ministry, and here he go. He gives the orders, and he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. See that fivefold there. That's God's government. He operates. Now the government got to get together before they can govern.
Yes, right.
I believe what happened, the enemy tricked the government and started a whole lot of other stuff, And so therefore the body of Christ suffered. Because we're going to see what this government is supposed to do for the body of Christ. At large has not done that. Because everybody got their own little show. Their own little game. Their own little thing. But we should be combined, submitted, committed to one another as the Lord appointed it. And these things can happen then. He says, verse 12, can happen for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see that? That's what it's for. Look, notice verse 13 now, where it tells us how the body of Christ should look. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the way each one of us should look. And as a body, at the body of Christ together, we should look that way. And it says some things here, because there's a scripture that says, you have been sanctified, and he says he justified you. Sanctified, justified, and glorified, the other word. Now, y'all show me, y'all can tell me the right word, right? Sanctification is a cuss word in the church. Because they don't understand what it is. See, we're going back to the throne of grace. I am what I am because of the grace of God. But God's grace is able to keep you from falling, from failing. Are you following me? And so I believe in holiness, I believe in sanctification, and I believe in Christian maturing. You see, if the body of Christ, if these offices are not in place, yet we cannot come to verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to what? That's a powerful word there, deceive, deception, distraction. You got to be on your cue, P's and Q's, as they would say when I was in school, if you're going to function in the things of God right. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up is so important, especially in ministry. See, the infancy that exists in the body of Christ, the ignorance that exists in the body of Christ is ministry gifts who have not grown up. So therefore, the preacher a baby, the people a baby. I mean, everybody can play around with the scriptures. I got my little grandchildren come in and bring a Bible up here and start talking a few words, you know. But I'm talking about functioning under a grace that will produce the manifestation of Jesus in your voice, in your eyes. See. When they noticed those boys, they said they looked ignorant and unlearned. But they noticed one thing. They recognized they had been with Jesus. Before you finish the school, it may be now, but before you finish school, I hope when you walk in somewhere or go do something, they will recognize that you have been with Jesus. Yes, sir. That's three quarters of the battle when you step in the pulpit. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If the congregation can recognize that you've been with Jesus, it's a way to recognize. Yeah. That they don't you think that the believers don't have some discernment? Yeah. All right? And they be able to recognize that you've been with Jesus, you almost got your sermon out. Okay? Well, they recognize you've been just planning and plotting, trying to come up with some bright idea to minister to them, you just lost too. All right. Then it says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And verse 16 is so important for ministers to know. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. See, you got them trained. According to the effectual working, in the midst of every part, make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that can't be no clearer, class, than it said. All right? Let's begin in chapter 18, the revelation of breakthrough believers. I think we just read in Ephesians That lesson we just read is talking about breakthrough believers, but believers who are matured, who are led properly, who are taught properly, who yield properly, becomes not just a believer, but a breakthrough believer. When believers are trained right from ministers, they become the reason for breakthrough churches. Let me tell you why. The nature of the church changes because of the spiritual input and position of these lives. See, breakthrough believers cause the church to be a breakthrough church because of their input. They are not weak. They're not just riding. They are looking for what the Holy Spirit is doing in a vision, and they want to lock into it and be a part of the movement of what God is doing. See, their contribution and function affect the destiny of the whole church. The church, you know, in football, I went a few times, and I had one of my boys was playing at LSU. They call it tailgating. Well, we're not tailgating. See, we need to function better than that. We're not trying to just have fun. We got an assignment from God. And if the teacher is not a breakthrough believer, the student never will be. Are you following me? Those breakthrough believers, in which I believe that in this school, before we finish, apostolically, those breakthrough believers, they will know deep intimacy with Christ. Deep intimacy with Christ. The author pointed like this, and I fully agree with him. This is a secret coming of Jesus into his church. He come through breakthrough believers who's wearing a breakthrough anointing, who's operating in breakthrough faith, who has breakthrough forgiveness. Break through it. When somebody rub you wrong, break through it.
Yes, sir.
They're not the stack. There's two things here, stagnation or saturation. Which one you want?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a breakthrough anointing, you're going to stagnate. But if you're wearing that breakthrough anointing, you're ready to saturate. Everything that comes forth in the spirit, you grab it. It can't get by you because you're heart right and you're ready for it. And you trust God and you're depending on the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Do I have a class in here?
Yes, sir.
Listen now. Pay attention now. Pay attention. This intimacy, this developing an intimacy with Christ is an act of maturity. Christ is not going to be able to give intimacy to a rookie or to a person who's not paying attention or to a person who's trying to get over or to a person who's spiritually lazy. Don't spend time in the presence of God. Don't spend time just pick up your book when it's time to come to school or go to church. No, it's an every day, every hour affair. I'm on 24-hour call. Sometimes I'm sitting down to my wife. Just this afternoon, I'm sitting down talking to my wife. We laid back and relaxing, and I got a call from the Lord. I said, honey, I'll be back. I had to go and pray about the night some more. You know.
Wow.
Put that biscuit down. Those breakthrough believers who grow into maturity, the Ephesians tell us, here's something about them. They are unstoppable in kingdom advancement. I love that. They are unstoppable in kingdom advancement. In other words, they have the right anointing, they have the right wisdom, they have the right understanding, they have the right knowledge, they have the right leadership, you see, they have the right faith, because they have grown, they have studied, they have spent time with Jesus. They know that Jesus is the vine, and they are the branches, and the sap got to come from the vine. See, sort of what Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That connection. The author also said, not only or the unstoppable in kingdom advancement, as we talk about the revelation of breakthrough believers, they are destined to rule. You cannot stop them from ruling. That's a scripture in Psalm 110, I said. I think it's Psalm 110. I done missed four or five scriptures. Now, let me see if I got this one. I might miss this one. But he's talking about ruling in the midst of your enemy. You're not going to be able to rule in the midst of your enemy if you don't pay attention. Sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time talking about praying an hour in the tongue. Now, sometimes you talk about praying an hour in the tongue, you'll get hung before you get to that tongue in an hour. You got to be ready. You got to be matured enough to know that you can rely and depend upon God to get a breakthrough in this situation, and that nothing can ever stop God from giving you your breakthrough. When you train people that way, they become developed. In this church, I have a lot of people who have developed themselves with a breakthrough. They are breakthrough believers in my ministry. I know it. Listening? These breakthrough believers in which we want to produce, in which we want to be ourselves in that type of maturity, they find freedom, listen to this, of access to God and live under an open heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Access to God. You remember Jacob ladder? Huh? Angel going up and down and said God was at the top of the ladder. Huh? You remember Jesus' baptism? It said the heaven opened, man. And he heard a voice. And the spirit in the form of dove coming and lit on him and stayed on him. It's so important that we know how to function. When Stephen was in trouble in the 7th chapter of Acts, heaven opened up. And somebody got a glimpse. Jesus had stood up. Yes, sir. Wow. We got to keep heaven open. Yes, sir. And by humbleness, meekness, staying clean with the word, playing no game, you always have access to God and live under an open heaven. There's such a thing as the anointing of ease. When you got access to God and you're under open heaven, then you understand government, that God government is from heaven to earth. You understand how he have it set up. You understand your covering. You understand spiritual authority. You understand ranks in the spirit. You've got to be blessed. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And so every student here, y'all listening by internet, every student here will become a breakthrough minister and live a breakthrough life and cause a lot of other people to break through. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. I felt that. Y'all felt that?
Yes.
I feel an anointing. A wave went over you. And I think that's what God wants us. My goodness. I think, watch for the falling of the Holy Ghost now.
Yes,
one of the reading the school open, I'll be talking, and the Holy Ghost will fall, and you'll see it with your very eye.
Yes, sir.
See. It's so wonderful to know that you have access to God. And you're living under open heaven. So that means miracles, signs, wonders, exploits, all of that. Any that you need. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, prophecy, doctrine, kind of whatever, anything you need. Love, joy, peace, fruit of the spirit. One of these four ministry gifts, the fruit of the spirit, the gifts of the spirit. All become, you're under open heaven.
Yes, sir.
All right? They nourish and nurture and is the life support and source of the church. Breakthrough believers. They're not going to cry. They're not going to compromise. They live under a strong conviction because of their connection both with God and the persons God has put over them. And so they'll support to God's work. And when that happened, when you mature like that, and that began to happen, and you begin to put God before yourself, deny yourself, then God will begin to do things for you that you really can't explain. Listen to everybody breakthrough believer and see why I got to have so much maturity. And think about your church setting that you've been through in your lifetime and the statement I'm about to make now. They are breakthrough believers. They are champions of cooperation.
Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, they know how to flow. They know how if the man or woman of God is correcting something, they know how to anchor themselves down in prayer and let God finish his course. See, they're not going to judge something ahead of time. They're not going to become a judge because sometimes they know they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're champions of cooperation.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if you just can get that in your house on.
Yeah.
But it's possible all of this will function in homes and everywhere what we're talking about. If you come to that maturity, You have these things that the Lord is showing to us. These breakthrough believers, because of growth, because of maturity, because of the input from heaven to earth in their life, they become champions of cooperation.
Yes,
they have access to God. They're living under an open heaven. Listen to me now.
Yes,
an open heaven, access to God, a champion of cooperation. Actually, the writer says, and I agree with him apostolically, they have a position of status, stature. I got members in this church got stature. They develop it themselves. They paid attention. They are not troublemakers. They are breakthrough. And they enhance and advance the kingdom business. Are you following me? Breakthrough believers also, the Bible talks about it, but if you're not connected properly or you're not flowing properly, you won't be able to do what I'm about to say now. They subdue the kingdom of darkness. Say, oh, that's just a demon, get back. I got him. They know they subdue the kingdom of darkness. Why? They know they're delivered from the power of darkness. They've been translated into the kingdom of God, dear son. They don't have no clusters in their heart and stepping out of their position, stepping out of their place. See, people step out of their place. And what happened, and I don't want it to happen in school, people get a little learning. Sometimes they get crazy, man. They get a little learning, and now they even forget the point who taught them that. Well, and then not it. They rub them shoulders. Talking about, I know the man. Yeah, but the man got divine order. He ain't gonna respect you, clowning, and don't care how much you know, he still got a divine order.
Right, sir.
Breakthrough believers, in which I believe you become and becoming, they will manifest Christ in total victory. The manifestation of Christ's kingdom, power, and authority will be clearly demonstrated. Listen to me, class. Talking about a breakthrough believer now. They will manifest Christ in total victory. The manifestation of Christ's kingdom. Y'all better take notes. You can be looking at that book, think you keep up with me. You better take some notes. Yeah, you're going to have some tests. You know, because I got to make sure you're not just reading the book. So y'all can set up here like this search for tomorrow. No, this is the guiding light. So you better get a hold of this class first night. You better recognize this school is the guiding light. It's not search for tomorrow. We already found tomorrow.
Yeah.
So pay attention and take notes. I mean, some of the things you need to write down, you're not going to remember them. And you're not going to remember these things. And then, yeah, you come with a D. I didn't want to make no C's when I was in. I made straight A's when I was in Bible college. Straight A's. Man, I almost didn't check my paper. Just write A on it, you know. But I did my homework, see. And I'm hungry and thirsty. They will manifest Christ in total victory. In other words, the kingdom, the power, and authority will be, if this is not a word, just this right, functionizing in their life. So well and so clear that a person knows that Christ doing it. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to make that statement one time. They one more time. They will manifest Christ in total victory. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The manifestation of Christ's kingdom, Christ's power, Christ's authority will be clearly demonstrated. Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul talks about the demonstration of the Spirit in verse 4 and 5. And this is what we want this school to understand. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. What the fourth verse say? Read.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
See, now hold up. I'm going to read the other verse. See, that's what we're aiming here. That's what that apostolic government, and I got pastors latched on to my anointing. We're working together in harmony, and so we're all one. We're working on the same anointing. That's what God expects. We work on the same anointing. The anointing come together as one man. You see that? Now you see him demonstrating. Paul said, "Well, not with enticing words." Now, a lot of ministry, I have to deal with some things, all right? A lot of ministry is just enticing words. A lot of ministry is just performance. They're in trouble now. They're trying to be movie stars and going on TV with all this crazy stuff on the reality and all that. Yeah. Man, we ain't got no time for reality. The reality is Jesus Christ.
Yes,
sir. Go in the spirit realm. But you can perform so long you believe you're an actor.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Save them, trick them guys, man. Yeah. Them guys, you ain't supposed to be on television fronting no stuff in front of nobody, just fronting it. Flesh.
That's all.
It's flesh. See, but if you function, where was I? I got off to this flesh stuff. I was telling you. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and see 5. The fifth verse is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now that's back to that government from heaven to earth. Ain't no man trying to be no superhero. And then they have different anointings, and anointings will be stronger than other anointing. But yet God get the glory. I think in another verse you have to meditate is 1 Thessalonians, I think, 1:5. Our gospel came to you not in word only. It does come in word, but in power. That's the first right scripture. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. Now that's the push. That's the share. That's the share I want to give you tonight. That's the push I want to give you. Those two set of verses there. There's another verse that is very important here. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is Romans 5:17? 14:17. Romans 14:17. 5:17, talking about reigning in life. Yeah, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's a good one, too. Put that down. Those are verses y'all need to meditate, because this is where we're headed. See, glory to God, that is again. What we're studying here, having access to God and knowing how to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt us in due time. See, now while I'm here, let me peg this. This is a process. This is not an overnight deal. It consists of different levels, different tests. And before you go to the next level, you got to pass the test, because if you go to the next level without the test, Satan gonna get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have challenges.
Yes, sir.
But rejoice in the Lord. Count it all joy when you fall in James 1, various trial, tempting, knowing that the trial of your faith works patient. When you fall into something like that, when something come upon you, James 1:5 says, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom in faith.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay? It's a process. Spiritual growth is a process.
Yep. Yes, sir.
If you skip the process, you're just thinking you're making progress.
Yeah.
You're not. You're not. He'll set you up, let you be in ministry 14 years, knock you out.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. And that's three or four, and I'll do this every now and then. That's three or four of the most powerful scriptures I know when it comes down to ministry. That's 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And then Romans 14:17. And that's one, I think, in 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. See, so you got to be ready for that power. All right? So that's a nutshell of chapter 18. I want you to read chapter 18. Mark in your book. I give you a synoptics of it, but there's other things in depth that you need to study. As an instructor, what we'll do here is to give you major charges, but you're going to dig for yourself, all right? Because I go into chapter 18, and when my secretary writing the test up, it just write everything you want. Anything in chapter 18 is gold, whether I said it or not. All right? Let's go over to chapter 19 now, the characteristics of breakthrough believers. The characteristics of breakthrough believers. See, this term, breakthrough believer, is a new term to the body of Christ at large. Now, they talk about breakthrough. You know, they've been trying to break through the wall, still standing. We haven't had breakthrough conferences, breakthrough seminars, and everything. People ran around the room and everything. Still a drunkard. Still a liar. So let's find a definition of a breakthrough believer. Is an extraordinary believer possessing a spirit of excellence with a prevailing kingdom mentality and a Christ-likeness in expression of character. Boy, that's powerful, man. Listen, let's pick some of this stuff out. Is an extraordinary believer. This is not a common person. They paid the price to be different. Number one. Number two, possessing a spirit of excellence. I remember when I preached with Dr. Price some years ago, and I preached on Daniel. Daniel had the spirit of excellence. Daniel said Daniel had an excellent spirit. And it caused him to be a powerful man because he had God back up. And you must know that you can have an excellent spirit. That don't mean you're flawless, but that means that you're hungry and you're thirsty and grace all around you. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 5:12, he'll surround you with a shield of favor. And boy, you get God's favor go to waiting for you. My. Let's talk about this a minute. Prevailing kingdom mentality. A prevailing kingdom. In other words, got a kingdom mindset that the Holy Spirit is constantly giving you through the Word and through your time spending with God. You think kingdom. You know, that's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, Matthew 6:33. You have a prevailing kingdom mentality, meaning that nothing impossible. See? You got this mentality. You got this spirituality about you. It gone in your mind. It gone in your mind. Your mind hooked up to God. Your soul acting right. See. This kingdom mentality. I believe the five doors of the soul that I'm talking about on Wednesday night, I'm still dealing with them. That your emotion is kingdom-nized. Your reasoning, you think kingdom reasoning. Your memory, when things don't look like it can work up, you got a kingdom concept or kingdom principle that comes up in your heart that make you stay on top of this thing. And then for your future, you got a kingdom imagination. You see it like God says. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Look at that. That's a powerful scripture. We have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, we believe and therefore we speak. And see, that's a kingdom. That's kingdom. That's a spirit of faith. Yes, sir. And then a kingdom will. What a kingdom will. Lord, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord, the master of kingdom mentality. The Lord Jesus Christ, when it was all time for him to go to the cross, he prayed, and all of a sudden he said, all right, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. Yeah. that thine will be done.
Yes, sir.
See, that's what we got to have. See, we can do this.
Yes, sir.
See, we can do this. We can't do it just playing around and guessing, messing around. You have to function under grace. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to spend time with the Father in His presence. You have to meditate the Word. Meditate the Word. I tell you what, I think Montreal is going to be teaching a lesson about living by the book. And one important word in there is observation. I think a lot of times we read scripture, we don't observe. We don't saturate. We don't soak it in. We see it as face value. But it's far from face value. It is face value, but it's the face of Almighty God. His word is His face. And when you're reading His word, you should see His face, hear His voice, see His hand, have His understanding, have His wisdom. Man, we got such a, listen, Claire, we got such an opportunity as Christians. And what? And I see people that pass the opportunity up every day. They read a little scripture and, you know, they think, hallelujah. Oh, man, the intimacy. You get down there, God start talking to you, bumping you side the head, jerking you, you're going the wrong way. Come this way. I'm not even that away. Dreams and vision, insight. No one a crook walk up to you. You can smell them a mile away, because you're anointed to know the truth. Christ likeness in expression of character is so important, and I think 1 Corinthians 13 will put you in a position for that. Romans 5:5 puts you in a position for that. This love of God. And then the scriptures talk about loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your might. This supernatural love that has been placed in our hearts, we have to let it function even when the devil bite at you. Through a person. You got to still function. You know what he said about love? You know what he said, right? It never fails. I don't see why a person don't understand that. Yeah, somebody can give you something that never fails, and you're going to try to use everything else. Come on, children. See, when you function in the non-failing love, you just kicked in all the fruit of the Spirit. Because love produces them all. Meekness, long-suffering, gentleness. You see my point? Goodness. And you can't whip a person walking in that. A breakthrough believer is one who's rising progressively, that is, to his God-given potential and calling. He's rising progressively. And God's going to send certain people in your life to help you down the line. And if you reject them, you're going to miss God. You sure don't want God to put me in your life if you don't want to go. Just tell him, Lord, keep him out of my life. I don't want nothing to do with him. Because I'll push you and shove you and spit on you and holler at you and everything I can to try to get you to see. I will. I try to do it in love. But sometimes I get real strong because I know if you're going to get out the ditch, the cab is going to have to be hooked right to you. Sometimes the truck can't pull the thing out of the ditch, so they back up on the cable and get a little slack in the cable. You understand? Yeah. Bam! Jerk you out that ditch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when we had them old cars, you know. Sometimes the rope would break. We finally got us some chain.
Yeah.
These breakthrough believers, which we're talking about now, is being used to create influence and impact on those around him for the purpose, this is it, of kingdom advancement and for the fulfillment of corporate destiny. Wow. Let me give you that again. Being used to create influence, the word influence is important, and impact is another important word, influence, impact, of those around him for the purpose of kingdom advancement. Now, you know you got to be mature for this, because we got these little self-islands, these little selfish ideas. What about my ministry? Build it, God dog it. When God can give it to you. But what's going to happen to me? Build it. Keep functioning. Keep yielding to the Spirit of God. Learn your lesson. Every lesson you don't learn, you got to take it over again. Kingdom advancement, man. And you know, for the fulfillment of corporate destiny. That's the whole deal. We want everybody to succeed. Huh?
Yes, sir.
You do want everybody to succeed, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because if you don't, I'm afraid you're not a Christian. Now you have to really listen, because the church have violated a principle. The church have just been concerned about conversion. But there's more to that. The church is not licensed to produce converts, but to make breakthrough believers who are there to make a difference on the earth. In other words, you know, the church need to bring a person further than just saying, I've been baptized.
Right.
Need to have something set up for them to grow and to develop. These breakthrough believers, they desire to rise to their full potential and give their best to please God with their lives. Rise to their full potential and do their best, give their best to please God with their lives. You know, one of the verses that I've, over the years, stuck with is Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, impossible to please God. He that, see, please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Now watch it now. And that he's a rewarder of them that seek him. Seek him, see. It's so important to seek him. The reward is in seeking him. I never sought after things. I got so much stuff. You get to seeking God, stuff to seeking you.
Yes, sir.
Until this day, I don't seek after stuff.
Right, sir.
I just want him. They are graced to govern and have the power to influence all those around them for active and accurate involvement in kingdom purposes and corporate destiny. They are graced to govern. See that grace right there? To govern and have the power to influence all those around them for active and accurate involvement in kingdom purposes and corporate destiny. He's talking about this corporate destiny, boy. Go back and look at Ephesians 4:16. Every joint supply. See, that's the whole Bible. Ephesians 4:7-16 is the whole Bible. That's what it's all about. That's what God, it's about the kingdom. It's about people growing up. It's about people becoming developed. It's about people who know how to be led by the Spirit. People who know how to operate by faith. People who know how to function under heaven government.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And lock in and be as one man. Bible, I think Luke 16 is a great guideline chapter. It talks about stewardship. The Bible talks about we are stewards of his mystery, the mysteries of God. And that stewardship principle is so important, because it keeps you from being a selected individual all by yourself. Just think about what's going to happen to you. Why are you busy about kingdom business and corporate destiny?
Yes, sir.
God will pick you out. And set you up for what he wants you to do.
Right.
Why? Because you're matured enough now for him to trust you.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That's so important, class. You hear that? Hear that? Because this little separate, this little schism, a little separate thing we try to do ourselves, it can cause a problem.
Yes,
Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
So that corporate destiny, you better remember that. And then you should remember also, my God, active and accurate. So you can be active, but somebody need to be accurate. Somebody need to be tuned in properly. Are you following me? And then remember that everything we do will involve in kingdom purposes. See, as a king, I say to my son, I say to my wife, this came to me, you can live like a king if you recognize the king owns everything. Write that down, because you need to look at that more, about 50,000 times. You can live like a king if you recognize that the king owns everything. That's a word for you right there. Another word to get you out your pauper mentality and about this enough. What is enough? Just keep flowing, man. These breakthrough believers, God uses them to motivate and inspire the integration of all those around them for momentum in the process of kingdom advancement. You get a good, mature Christian in your church or work for you in your ministry, they create a momentum that even when you're going slow, that momentum, you can ride it with them. They're always, because they're mature. See, God trained my secretary before she came to me. Had a man train her. She had to read. She had to, and he ain't played with her. I mean, she had to get it. Now she. And boy, I couldn't stand to have an immature secretary right here, right now. I ain't got time to be messing around with no secretary, man. I got to go. You know, I got a lot of responsibilities. And then when you're matured, when you say that, that don't go to your head. That's, you heard what he said about me? At the end of that right there. So a momentum in the process of kingdom advancement. Notice that word, kingdom advancement. See, if you keep that in mind, the Lord, that's why he told you, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So keep the kingdom on your mind. These breakthrough believers, what we're studying about, they are able to make things happen and create people movements. Because they're wearing a certain anointing. They're wearing a certain grace. They're accountable. They know it's all about the kingdom. It's not about me. It's about the king. It's not about me. Listen, class, because these are some of the stagnation factors why many are not breakthrough believers. These breakthrough believers, they are people-driven and not program-driven. People-driven and not program-driven. Now, you see that on test A and B. Now, which one are you going to mark? We've got to get the program right. They operate on a kingdom advancement paradigm of thought pattern. Ooh, Lord. Rather than a survival maintenance mode of thinking. Let me get it again, because you see, if you saying you connected with God and thinking about survival is an insult to God's intelligence. I ain't got time for no survival. Surviving, I'm Almighty God. You about to soar like an eagle. You got the time, fly over it. Let me take you up. Be caught up in the spirit. Fly over it. You begin to train people like this, and over a protracted period of time, they'll find out their potential and be the best people you ever laid your hand on. Listen, They operate on a kingdom advancement paradigm of thought pattern rather than a survival maintenance mode of thinking. Now, if you look at the church at large, you'll see the opposite of everything we're teaching here. Every negative aspect, you get a positive aspect, you get a negative aspect. If you look at the church at large, you got a bunch of crybabies. And I tell you, another thing hit me. You women never stop adorning yourself on the outside. Because we preachers come in the pulpit with a pair of jeans on, a little shirt hanging on the outside with our collar all open. And I sadly witnessed, it hurt me. I sadly witnessed men sitting in the chair with bebop caps on and hats on, Bermuda shorts, laid back like they had the LSU football game or Southern. And out at the beach. Yeah. I mean the cap, bebop cap, just the boy just a teacher, and they're sitting there with the cap on, head on. Yeah. I said, gee, I don't care about myself. I said, Lord. But see, preachers did that. That's why in the school you got to come dressed. Yeah. Amen. Little loud shirts on, all open up, showing your chest, some of them showing their muscles, trying to show their muscles, get in trouble. Yeah. Not messing with little boys and stuff. I thought they were trying to show the women, me. I did. They release life and excitement in others, creating a spirit of faith and adventure in the atmosphere. Boy, this is powerful, man. Listen, those breakthrough believers, they release life and excitement in others, creating a spirit of faith. We just read 2 Corinthians 4:3, we just read it. And adventures in the atmosphere. Yeah. I'm going to give you 6 quick characteristics of breakthrough believers in a congealed statement. These breakthrough believers, when a ministerial leader finds out he got a breakthrough believers in his midst, they are sent ahead of others to pioneer a new move of God. Yeah. Another characteristic about them, because of their maturity, they are able to move under intense pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, they have seen it happen before. They retain the standards of truth they have learned. I hear my dear friend, Dr. Healy, and his wife, they have a show they teach on in the daytime. And I certainly enjoyed their teaching. And they say is that facts and odds can be changed by truth.
Yeah.
And that's powerful, boy. See, yeah, it is a real fact that I'm having a problem here. But I'm going to take truth and change it.
Yeah,
the odds are against me, but I'm going to take truth and change it. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. Yeah, that's powerful. What? That is powerful, man. You know, everybody need that at one time or another. So they are able to move under intense pressure when you know truth can change anything. The truth of God's word, are you hearing me? Can change anything. Put God's word on it. Keep God's word on it. Don't back off it.
Yes, sir.
And it got to change. And you have to retain the standard of truth. They are able to move into present day truth and progressive revelation because they are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen to that, class. Listen to that. Oh, God, help me here now. They are able to move into present day truth and progressive revelations because they are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. They are able to move forward under delegated authority. Their desire is to impact the city and influence the nations. Now we're going to get into more of that because we're so local, we know all the mayor men. We've got 11 minutes left in this class tonight. Let's do a review in these chapters. I'm not going to go to chapter. I want you to study chapter 20 because I'm going to get into it on our next setting. So you got three chapters, 18, 19, and 20, right? Three chapters to read. When you're reading, get your red pen or something. Make notes to yourself. I write one. The way I do it is I get a point, one. I just write in the book, two, three, four, five. Then when I go back to read it again, I have it. Now, you have to understand government. You have to understand. Let's go back over this a few minutes. Let's go review because I want to understand again what the apostle deal with. These three things are important. Clear, profound, heaven-to-earth teaching. Hearing from heaven. Clear, profound, heaven-to-earth functioning. We got to function properly. And then clear, profound, heaven-to-earth government. That's important that you understand that. You understand that all the things of God are grace-based. You got to have the grace of God to function properly. Talked about some hot when you properly under government and you're studying properly, you're unstoppable in kingdom advancement. We talked about that. It puts you in a position to rule in the midst of your enemies. So why we have not seen this at large in the body of Christ? The buck stop here. If the ministers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets is not doing what they should do, it caused stagnation, it caused stubbornness in people because people know there's more to God than what they're receiving, if they're not receiving true revelation, true anointing, and true wisdom from God. So it is your contrary. I'm just going to come to church. Just don't bother me. They're good people. I'm telling you, I'm appalled. I'm amazed at people who live right and haven't been taught right. But just love God, man. Because you really don't know how to fully fight. They really don't know how to discern. See, there's two types of discernment. There's the gift of discernment in 1 Corinthians 12, but there's a general discernment that you have because of maturity, because of meditating the word, spending time with God, and experience. It's a general discernment. See? And when people are not taught right, they cannot discern what's right and what's wrong to a large degree because everybody doing it. And so our call tonight is to return, be restored to God's original plan. And by doing that, we will become powerful workers in the kingdom. See, we're not playing church. The church is the most powerful institution that ever existed. But it got to have trained people. And to have trained people, you got to have trained ministers. To have trained ministers, you got to have submission to authority. Everybody can't wear that thing with all them feathers on it. That's the chief. But the chief got to know there's a chief over him, over her. You see what I'm saying? So it's so important, Glad. To go over this lesson because the stagnation has been that we have not understood the office, the two offices we haven't understood, the office of apostle and a prophet. Right. And see, when the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist don't understand it, and I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, when they don't understand that, they're not working on all their vows. Right. Because that's the way God designed it.
Yes, sir.
Now, everybody who say I'm an apostle and a prophet, that's another thing. That's why I told you about discernment.
Yes,
sir. If you're going to prophesy something out your pocket.
Yeah,
and what you accuse me of.
Yeah.
But I don't care because I'm not doing it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay. When ministers are not grounded and rooted, that means the congregation following them not going to be grounded and rooted.
Right.
See, we need to set a pattern for people who follow us and people who we're ministering to. Our life. John the Baptist was a rough preacher. He didn't dress right. He had locusts and wild honey.
Yeah.
And he ain't had no churches out on the bank preaching.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And you come to his congregation, he said, yeah, I heard all that. He said, go bring some fruit for repentance. You know, he, in other words, talk is cheap when it's not right. And what we're doing now, I talked to 107 ministers this morning. We're aligning ourselves to be accountable.
Yes, sir.
And to be responsible and to be holy.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And to recognize that we're serving a living God.
Yes, sir.
And that we're going to operate as one man.
Yes, sir.
And that one man is Jesus.
Because
all the apostle, prophet, all us are we come from him.
Right.
From his spirit. That's the way God designed for it to happen. He sent Jesus. Jesus paid for it all. Then Jesus said, now I'm going to give gift unto men.
Right.
And the gifts come out that the fivefold ministry give. But if we recognize rank, recognize order, become a student and submit ourselves to the things of God, we all can grow strong. See, chain is no greater than his weakest link. I'm saying. Now, some things can be put in you in this school that I don't know no other school you're going to get it from. The Lord is doing something at this point, and it puts you in a position of fear and trembling of how powerful these things will be. If people just pay attention, pull and press. Pull and press. In other words, when I was in school, I pulled everything out of that instructor. I made him talk longer. I look at him, boy, I'm trying to eat this stuff up, man. He look at me and start teaching some more. I became his substitute. I never thought they were going to get me at a substitute. They had a lot of guys. They've been preaching a long time. And he says, Thompson? I said, yes, sir. He said, I won't be here next week. Take my place. I said, Jesus. But I paid attention. And I never lost it. You know, Jesus said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yes, sir.
If I talk about it long, I'll start crying.
Yeah.
I never lost the hunger for Jesus Christ. That hunger is just as, I'm just as thirsty today as I was 40 years ago when I first came out the street and found out there was somebody to be thirsty after.
Yes, sir.
I like that commercial. He's even talking about a beer. I mean, an alcoholic beer.
Yeah, yeah.
The man with that beard on, and he talks, he said, be thirsty, my friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good phrase for us. In this school, I want you to be thirsty because these boys are going to pour it out. These boys. And I call them boys. One man left me because I called him a boy.
Yeah.
These men are connected to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we have the Chef Sam spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we done switched some books around. I think one book, I'm just giving you the book, The Voice of Jesus, because I switched from it and switched another book. So you got that book, you're going to get another book to go along with that book. That's a gift from me. Just read it. Glory to God. And then I want to switch one man's book. He's down here, How to Hustle's book. He got a teaching and ain't got the book. But I just certain things that I do and I want to do. And that's the kind of men and women you got to have around you that adjust themselves to schedule, you see. Don't go cry. I had that book. I ain't got no book. I haven't read the other book, man. Man, shut up. Come on, let's go. Let's go to work here. We to go to work.
Yes,
I had one of my instructors I had pulled back. Then the Spirit of God said, no, not yet.
Yes,
I told him, read all the books. Because you get in this, even though you can be anointed, a good teacher, you get in this whirlwind and you'll get cut. Because this apostolic anointing is a strong wind. And God, I guess you'll permit me to say this, I believe God in a hurry. I never heard it before. But I believe he want to get this thing out. And I believe that's why you're in school. He want your caliber of people walking the streets. Walking in churches and knowing how to discern, preaching a message that will change people's lives. God bless you. You set? You got your? God bless you on the internet. Real cool. You set? You got your chapters you got to read? Make notes to yourself as you read them. Make notes in your book. That's your book. All my books are written right at the top. When you see a hot saying, underline it, it's okay. But I usually underline it, then I write it at the top. When I come back to that page, that thing is looking right at me. All right? How many of y'all are first-year students? My goodness. Stand up, you first-year student. We got to initiate you tonight. Go get the water. And the oil. And some blood. We put it all on you at one time. We're glad to have you, first-year student, on the line. We're glad to have you. I'm actually the president of the school. My wife is the vice president. And my wife says she's going to get more involved this year. And boy, that's a revelation. But she says she's going to get more involved. She's going to be more present this year. And she's the kind of woman you want present. She'll be a blessing to you. My wife walks in revelation knowledge, in case people don't know it. She walks in a lot of stuff I preach, I got from her. And so, God bless you. Get ready for your next class. Where your next class is? You know where your next class at? Or somebody come and take it? Who going to take care of this? We got new people here. They don't know where they're going. Leroy Jr., Montreal, Where's Leroy them at? Come out here and get this thing straight. Y'all better not mess with the machines, huh?
All right. We're going to make a change tonight. Second year, staying here, and Pastor Phillips, you do your class in here. Pastor Ron is going to take the exact class you had, Classroom A. So first year students, if you go up the stairs, through those doors, and then down the hallway, first classroom to your left is going to be your classroom. Those that are watching by internet and online students, you're going to go back to your portal page, and you're going to click the various classes that you have. First year students, you should be looking for moving with the gifts, moving in the gifts. Right? And second year, we'll be looking for dynamics of holiness. So you go back to your classroom portals and click on those links to watch that. All right, first year, we'll go to the classroom A. Second year, stay in here. We'll start in about another 5 minutes.
What about if they got problems getting on? We got anybody to work with them? You know, say some of the internet students.
If you have problems with logging on, or you have a problem getting to a class, and you don't see your class, you can call the office at 225-473-8874, and we'll have somebody waiting to help you, and they're on the phone waiting to help you now.
Good enough.
All right, you're dismissed.
Good enough.